let's begin.
You gotta love it exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, let's begin, guys. Okay, let's begin. Okay. All right, we left off yesterday with four different sheetahs about what the din is, if some of it is above 20, if some of it's below 20. So the Gemara said, Chalal Tanan. What's Chalal Tanan mean? Rava said, Zev Zeh Kosher. If it's a little bit above 20 or a little bit below 20, they're both good, both the Sukkah and the Mavui. Why? Because Chalal Tanan. What does Chalal Tanan mean? Chalal Tanan means the following. I want you to get it. If there's a space of 20, that's exactly hollow and empty, then it's considered to be what? Then it's considered to be ksheir. But if it's 20.1 of hollow space, then the din is that the sukkah is what the sukkah is considered to be psula. Okay? So, halacha lemaisa, we assume chalal tanan. So that's what Rava says. Rava makes this ha'ara that it's both kosher. So I want you to get that down. That's the way we paskin halacha lemaisa. We paskin halacha lemaisa chalal tanan like Rava. That's the first nekuda I wanted to mention. Second nekuda I want to mention is as follows. The Gemara had a line in Erevin that we learned yesterday that we should say Rowan, that the that we said Rowan, that the Chamsa is Beruba Mitzilasa, right? And the Gemara said that we also had a line that the Rowan, that the Tzila is Beruba Mechamsa. The shadow is more than the what? The shadow is more than the sunlight. So how could this be? So Lamaisa, Tysus comments in Erevin Gimel Amud Aleph, I want you to get it down, that even though some of the schach is above 20, but we view it as being auxiliary. You know what auxiliary means? We view it as being supportive of the what? We view it as being supportive of the schach that's below 20. So since we view it as being auxiliary and supportive, because the schach inherently is not possible, it's lamayli master mama. And since it's lamayli master mama, it's not like what? It's not like it's mechuber. It's not like it's ena mekabel tuma. It's not like it's metal. So therefore, halacha lemaisa, we view it as being what? Auxiliary, and it's supportive, and therefore the whole thing is kosher. Because it's not really inherently schach, that's psula. So that's what the Gemara meant when it said that it's tzila meruba mechamsa. If you ignore the what? If you ignore the sukkah, the schach that's above the what? Above the 20. But the schach, if you ignore the schach that's above the 20, how do you count it at all? To create a scenario that there's more what? That there's more darkness than shade. So the way you create the scenario, there's more darkness and shade, is you view the schach inherently as what? The schach inherently is considered to be l'mayli miyasrim. So since the schach is inherently considered to be l'mayli miyasrim, so since the schach is l'mayli miyasrim, l'mayis, it's inherently not a problem, so therefore we could view it as being what? We could view it as being a supportive auxiliary of it, and therefore it's going to be kosher. So those are the first akudas I wanted to mention. Regarding what? First Tikkun is regarding a mention of the Gemara Nerevin. Okay, we got it? That's what I wanted to mention there with the Gemara Nerevin. Okay, let's see now, Lamaisa, where we're up to in the Gemara. Okay, let's see, we're up to in the Gemara with Rav Amar. Okay, we're up to the Gemara where it says Rav Amar. Let's see inside for Rav Amar. Okay? Okay, how we doing, guys? Okay? Yeah, thank you very much, Marty. You got it? Okay, let's go over to First Tikkun as we just did. Okay? All right, let's go over the first nekudas we just did, Lamaisa, okay? We leave up a little bit early if you can, so we get it on time at 11, okay? So let's go over the first nekudas again we mentioned. The two nekudas from the Gemara and Erevin. What was the case of the Gemara and Erevin we had? We had a mix. Some schach were above 20, some schach was below 20, yes? Some schach was above 20, some schach was below 20, yes? So we said, according to Rava, why are both kosher? Why are both kosher? Chalal Tanan. Right? What does Chalal mean? I want you to get this precisely. It says the Shulchan Aruch, let's get it. If the space is exactly 20 yamas high, where it's hollow, then it's kosher. The problem is if it's 20.1 hollow space. Okay? So it's 20.1 hollow space, it's going to be puzzle. That's what Rava means. And that's what we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch. What we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch is that if it's 20.1 hollow space, it's puzzle. But if it's 20 exactly, and the schach is on 20.1, then it's kosher. Everyone got that clear? Let's get that down. Donnie, you got it down? That's what Rava meant. And we paskin like Rava. Zev is Zev kosher. Okay? What does Zev is Zev kosher mean? Zev is Zev kosher means that if it's 20 hollow, that's fine. If it's 20.1 hollow space, David, that's psuk. Okay? That's what Rava meant. We paskin like Rava in the Shulchan Aruch. So therefore, if you have a little bit below 20 and a little bit above 20, it, the whole thing is kosher. Because it's not hollow 20.1, right? Has to be, I want you to get, I don't know if we stress that. That's what halal tnan means. We paskin like the fourth permutation. Zev is Zev kosher. It's a little bit below 20, a little bit above 20. You got it down? Chalal tanan. What does chalal tanan mean? That if it's lamalim yesrim, what do the words lamalim yesrim mean? What does lamalim mean? 20.1. If it's 20.1 hollow space, then you got a what? Halach lamaisi. You see, it's tricky. Because lamalim yesrim might mean what? What do you think it means when you say lamalim yesrim? I would think if the stock was at 20.1 and 20 was hollow, I would think that that's psula. That's not true, Rava says. Chalal tanan means that if it's 20 hollow, then that's kosher. What's puzzle is 20.1 hollow. The Mishnah's focusing on the hollowness. You got that? Avram, write that down. Chalal tanan. That's what the Gemara said in Erev and Gimelim and Beis in the top line. Yoni, you got me? Okay, chalal tanan means if it's what lamalim yesrim. It's tricky because we're learning Mishnah Erevin, and we're learning the Mishnah Sukkah, and Rav and Erevin Daf Gimel teaches you how to read the Mishnah. And when it means lamalim yesrim ama, it means what is higher than 20? The hollowness is higher than 20. That's when it's psula. Marty, you got me? That's what Rav, if it's 20.1 hollow, it's psula. If it's 20 hollow, and the schach starts at 20.1, then the halacha is, David, that it's what? Then it is considered to be kshera. Donnie, you got this? We didn't stress this yesterday. I want you to get that. It's the first nakuda. You got to get it down. In other words, according to Rav, how do you read the Mishnah Sukkah? Sukkah lamailim yeser ma'ama means if the hollowness is above 20. If the hollowness is 20.1, Adam, then it's Rav, then it's psula. If the hollowness is 20, it's kshera. Thereby, if you have some schach that dips below 20, some schach above 20, kshera. If you have a lechi, that what? Some of it dips below 20, some of it's above 20, kshera. The psul that we're looking for is hollowness that is higher than 20, 20.1. It's like Rav has a unique reading of the Mishnah. You could read this Mishnah from today until tomorrow, you never would have thought of that. I never would have thought about it. I always thought my whole life the schach meant what? The schach was above 20. It's not true. If it's the hollowness is above 20, if the hollowness is 20.1, then I'm done. But if the schach is 20.1 and the hollowness is 20, that's kshera. You got me, Yoni?
Yeah.
That's the first nakuda. Okay. I'm glad you guys came a little late because it got me to repeat it to get it 100% clear. You got me? Clear? Okay, so if you're a unique Jacob, you got me, it's a new reading of the Mishnah. Meaning, what's lamalim yesrim? The hollowness is above 20, that's when it's psula. Not that the schach is above 20. And we pass him like rubber. Yes, yes, what do you say, Fry?
Just a question. According to the other sheet, though, that it's including the schach, right? What would be a sukkah that's like a normal height? Like, let's say five amos or 10 amos, and then the schach is like super thick. It's like 50 amos.
As long as some of it dips under 20, it's good. That's correct. That's the way you pass in Shulchan Aruch.
No, not the way. Not.
Not like Rava.
Not like Rava.
The other shittas also said that there were two other shittas. There's three other shittas. One shittah said it was fine because we said the Yeraisa doesn't need a chizuk. Sukkah was ksher, mavu was psu. That's what we went through the Gemara yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. That's according to one other sheet that's going to be kosher. Okay. We got the first nakuda. Yeah. So I want you guys to make sure you get that down. I didn't stress that enough. That's what Rava meant when he said Zev Zer Kasher Chalal Tanan. Chalal Tanan is a new way of reading the Mishnah. Okay, that's the first Nakuda. Number two Nakuda. I want you to get from the Gemara and Erevin, and then we gotta go on. In the second Nakuda is that the Gemara in Erevin had a line. Remember when we used that word Rowan? What did Rowan mean? Not Rowan. What did it mean? What word was used? Kolish. What did Kolish mean? Thin it out. Excellent. Now the Gemara had a line on the second presentation that a sukkah was kshera, that you thin it out in a way that what? You thin it out in a way that it's going to be fine, that it's going to be more shade than what? Sunlight. Excellent, Donnie. Remember that line? Now, Tosus there in Erevin Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. We didn't say it outside. I want to say it now. Tosus said, one second. If you thin it out, that means you have no stuff over 20. So how do you manufacture more shade than light? How do you practically manufacture more shade than light if you're thinning it out? And you're ignoring the stuff above 20. You hear what I'm saying? That's what Tosus is bothered by in Erevin Gimel Amud Aleph. How do you get to a scenario, Donnie, where there's more shade than light when you thin it out?
Because you can still have more shade than sunlight.
But if I say thin it out, aren't you ignoring the stuff above 20? So you're diminishing the amount of schach. So how could there be more shade than sunlight? So I want you to get this. You know what Tosfos says? Tosfos says schach inherently above 20 is not bad schach. It's not like it's metal, a tavor makabel tuba. It's not like it's attached. It's not like it doesn't grow from the didn't grow from the ground. Inherently, it's fine, but what? But it's just too high, so I can use it as auxiliary schach. Auxiliary schach. You know what auxiliary means? Like supportive. The ikker schach is the stuff below 20. The ikker schach is the stuff below 20, but it still can be supportive yoni to create a scenario that there'll be more shade than what? Than sunlight. That's the Chiddush of Tyson Erevin Gimel Amud Aleph. I'm a regional. Oh, we don't have that Gemara in Erevin Lamaisa, but Tyson has one line where he says the schach above 20 is fine, Matthew. Therefore, if it's fine, it can be auxiliary and supportive of the schach below 20, and therefore it can manufacture a line where there is more shade than what sunlight. Donnie, you got me? You got a clore? That's what Tyson writes. We didn't do the Tyson side, but Tyson Gimel Amud Aleph did Masko Kolish. In Erevin says this. But it's an important akuda that I noticed yesterday after Shir, and I wanted to say it over today. Because when the Gemara had that line and said, thin it out, then how do you get more shade than sunlight? Because you keep it there. The schach inherently is not bad schach. It can be used as auxiliary schach to help out the schach that's below 20. That's the chiddush that we want to bring out. So those are that's how we're beginning Shir with these first two nakudas I wanted to stress from the Gemara and Erevin that we got. Okay? Marty, clear? Yes, go ahead, Avram. What do you say?
When we mentioned Rabbi Regensburg and said that if you have a sukkah in your house,
yes,
you tear away the roof,
yes,
that it's pasul because the schach itself is pasul. And wouldn't he say here that the schach above 20 amos is completely pasul?
No, because it's different because it was under a house.
Why is that different?
That was under a house. That was just high. There was nothing above it. There's a distinction. There's a distinction. I understand, but they're two distinct psulim. One is Takas Abayis, and one is Lamaila. They're very clearly different. Okay? It's a good kash. Yes, Yehuda, go ahead.
So if we're going to leave the stock on top, what is thinning out accomplished at all if we're going to leave stock over it that's above 20 amos?
Because what does it accomplish at all? Because otherwise, the case was there was a little bit of schach, and what do you have to have for a sukkah to be kosher? More shade than sunlight. So we want to thin out the stuff above 20, but you want to have your cake and eat it too, which means what? You want to fulfill the din of what? More shade than sunlight. How do you do that? So you have to say Tosfos Chiddush that it's auxiliary to it.
Then why do you have to send it out at all? Why can't you just leave it all there?
Because it is possible above 20. So that's why I'm saying you're getting your cake and eating it too. You ignore it, but you don't ignore it. You ignore it that it's not considered to be physical schach, but at the same time, it's enough to be used to give your cake and eat it to manufacture more shade than what? Than sunlight. It's a good kasha you're asking me. You hear what I'm saying? That's why I say, you know that expression, get your cake and eat it too. That's what we're doing. We're fulfilling the eating of it by having the sun more shade than sunlight, but on the other hand, we're ignoring it because it's higher than 20. Donnie, you got a chlore? Okay. Yes, David, go ahead.
I think you, Rebbe, just answered my question.
Okay, good. You got it clear?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to manufacture more shade than sunlight, but on the other hand, it is above 20. So thin it out, ignore that, but at the same time, it can contribute to what? How can it contribute? Because it's auxiliary. It's like lahavdol of dollars, you know. It's like your, it's like lahavdol of dollars, like a relief guy in, you know, baseball. You know, I mean, the relief guys can never start, right? They can, they can't pitch more than one inning, right? Nowadays, when I was a kid, they used to pitch 3 innings. When I was a kid, the starters used to pitch 9 innings, right?
Some relievers are starters.
Okay. Very few. But what I'm saying is lahavdol of dollars, that the schach that's above 20. Listen. The schach that's above 20 cannot be a starter. But at the other hand, it can help out what? Can be a relief man to help the schach that's a below 20. You got me? Okay, good. Let's go vayta now in the Gemara. So we finished Rabbah. We finished Reb Zeir. Yes? To the two approaches, why? What is above 20, puzzle? The schach above 20 or Rava, who had said what? What above 20 is puzzle? The hollowness, right? The hollowness. Remember that? Okay. According to the Pashup Shad in the Gemara, we're talking about the schach, but Rava said means the hollowness. Okay, let's go now with Rav himself here. Let's see inside. Matthew, go ahead, read the Gemara. The Rav Amar Miacha, let's see inside. Let's go, guys, let's go. The Rav Amar Miacha, go ahead. The Rav Amar Miacha. Oh, Rav says you learn out Besukas Teshu Shivas Yom. Go ahead. All 7 days go out of Deiris Kevin, sit in Deiris Aroi. Go ahead. Until 20 Amas, a guy makes his Dira halachically review it, no matter what Deiris Aroi. Go ahead. A person doesn't make Deiris Aroi above 20. Ella what? Excellent. So Amar Amarle Abaye. If you make a sukkah that's less than 20 amas out of what, walls of iron, and you put schach on it, it shouldn't be a good sukkah. Why shouldn't it be a good sukkah?
It sounds like
Deiris Kevin. It is Deiris Kevin. There's nothing like iron. And I thought we said that what? Anything above what? And we know there's an accepted halacha. Get this down in your notes. That's kosher. I want you to get this down. The first bir halacha in Hilchos Sukkah says that walls can be made of any material, any single material. There is a lechachila that you should make the walls the same type of material as schach. It's a lechachila, it's like a hit or mitzvah. But mikra din, walls can be made from anything. And that's an accepted halacha. I can make metal walls and put schach yoni right on top of it and it's kshera. Not a problem. So Abai says, according to your definition, Rava, that should be possible. And no posek in their right mind would possel such a sukkah. No one in their right mind would possel such a sukkah. No one. And according to your reasoning, it should be possible. Because you need Deiris Aroi and not Deiris Kevin. You got what I'm saying? Yes? Abai is working off a premise, which is accepted, that everyone agrees this sukkah is cheru. A metal wall with schach on top of it. Is that clear? That's Abai's working off that premise. Okay? Now, what is that? So that's what he's jumping on Rava. Now, I want you to note this. There is a principle called later on in the Masechta called Ma'amid. What does Ma'amid mean?
Well, you rest the schach.
Me'ikaradin, Ma'amid is kosher. However, there is a chumra midrabanan. And you know, there are always these guys, you shouldn't be like that. You go into a guy's sukkah, oh, that your sukkah's psul. Guy goes into a sukkah, they have metal walls, there's schach resting on it. Oh, that sukkah's psula. It's a maimid. First of all, you should never do that. It's not nice, right? But second of all, the guy's wrong. Because maimid mi'ikar adin is kosher. Maimid mi'ikar adin is kosher. No one should ever tell you that it's possible. If you support schach, kosher schach, on things that are metal, that would be material, it's not kosher for schach, it's kosher. There is a chumrah of the Bach. The Bach says you shouldn't do ma'amid. There's a chumrah the Bach has. Now there's a machloikis, Mr. Brura, and the Chazon Ish, whether there's a concept of ma'amid, the ma'amid. Ma'amid, the ma'amid is kosher. Afilu
l'chumra. What does that mean?
Means you support, let's say, the metal walls with slats on its perimeter. And then you put schach on that. You follow me? So therefore, the metal is the ma'amid de ma'amid. So the Mishnah Berurah says that's Maamar D'Matos Kasher even Lefi the Chumrah. You fulfill the Chumrah. Chazanish says it's ridiculous. Chazanish says that's a joke. Because it's just being supported by what? The metal walls in the end. So at the end of the day, you haven't fulfilled any Chumrah. Chazanish says Lo Yatza, Lo Yatza, Yedei, Chavasol, Shel Chumrah. But what am I stressing? That everyone holds Mikar Adin, it is what? It is kosher. So the Bach just points out.
Wait, what's Mamed to Mamed?
When you put a metal walls and you have slats around the perimeter of the walls on top, slats, wooden slats, you know which are kosher schach, yeah. And then you put the schach over those wooden slats.
Oh, you mean like what everybody does, basically?
Okay, fine. But not everybody, Lamaisa. But that's called Mamed de Mamed. Because the schach is resting on Adam the slats, which is wood, which is kosher schach, and then it's on metal walls. Mamed de Mamed, supported of supported.
But those,
so you fulfill the chumrah or not? Mr. Bruce says yes. Chazanish says no, because at the end of the day, it's all being supported by the wall, metal
is,
walls in the
end. That wood is schach in and of itself.
What'd you say?
You could say that wood is part of the schach.
Okay, however you want to view it, I want you to know it's a machloek, it's Mr. Bruce Chazanish, and the Bach in Simon Tuf Reish Chav Tes, Dibur Masuk Kosov Rabbeinu Yeshaya, says that even when the Gemara asked this kasha, that Abaye asked the kasha, he says, I'm really uncomfortable with the way Abaye attacks Rava. And he says, oh, if you build schach on metal walls, it should be psula according to you, because it's what's sturdy. I thought you require Roy. How could Abaye say that that's good? So what the Bach means is saying, it's good, Mikra Adin, but he was uncomfortable with Abaye like proposing something that wouldn't fulfill a chumrah. So he says, you have to read into the Gemara that we're talking about, you put the schach on slats, like I just said. To fulfill that chumrah. So he's learning like the Mishnah Berurah said, and therefore you're putting the schach on mechitzas shel bars, it would be a problem of maimed, which is, doesn't fulfill the chumrah, but we'll do maimed de maimed. Chazanish will just interpret this gemara that mikra din is kosher. That's all Abaye was jumping on Rav. You understand what I'm saying? Abaye jumps on Rav and says, if you require diris aroy and not diris keva, so then if you build a schach on metal walls, why is it kosher? That's sturdy. There's nothing greater than that. Sturdy should be puzzle. We know it's good. No one posik in the right man, right mind would posik that. But do you fulfill the chumrah? No, you don't. So the Bach says, touch it up a little bit. It meant to say, if you put schach on slats on the metal walls. So I'm just pointing out, that notion of maimid to maimid is a machlokes mishnah berurah chazanish. Whether there is such a concept of doing that. Most of the oilam in America does that. Like Ephraim said. A lot of guys use fiberglass. A lot of guys use, you know, canvas walls. But the schach doesn't really rest on that. They rest on slats or poles, wooden poles. But if they do, no one should say that's a psu. Mikra din is kosher. So I want you to get that principle. Number one, maimid mikra din dan is kosher. Maimid the maimid is machlis mishra bruh chazanish. And the Bach just touches up this kasha of Abaye when he jumps on Rav and he says, you have to be talking, elam me'atov, that's so. If you build schach on metal walls, it should be possible. And we know that it's kosher. Okay, we know that it's kosher mikadin, but you fulfill the chumrah. So the Bach says, touch it up. You're putting the schach on slats on the metal walls. Chazanish would just say, no, the Gemara is saying, like we said it, literally, that it's kosher mikadin. And you don't accomplish anything by doing this. Okay, we'll talk about, as we get towards Sukkot more, Bez Hashem, if you use canvas, you got to tie it down stark, that the wind doesn't sway it three tefachim other way. Otherwise, not what? It's not a good mechitza. You got to tie it down real stark. If you use a canvas. I mean, really, really. You got to put a lot of koyach into it so it doesn't sway back and forth. If it sways back and forth, the Ruch Metzuyah, it could be a Sukkah Psuah. Okay? So that's why it's always good to use. That's why I always say it's always good to use wooden walls. Wooden walls is the best. Wooden walls is the best. For a few years we had canvas, and then, you know, I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. I can't take it anymore. So what did I do? I did wood. And it was one of the greatest decisions I ever made. So because shmak, a beautiful sukkah, wooden sukkah. But if your parents do it, don't make time, don't make machlekesim, okay? If they do it like that, that's fine. But when you get married, you have your own family. Ideally, you should make a sukkah with wood. Okay, we got this? All right. Very good. That's the Gemara's kasha. Go ahead. What's the answer to the Gemara? Go ahead, Matthew. Amarle, you're doing a great job. Amarle. Basically, what is the Gemara saying?
Saying that
what is the Gemara saying? I want you to be very objective and conceptual. I want you to be a thinking man. And that's what we do when we learn Gemara. And we learn Lamedus and Torah Shabbat. The Gemara says basically, you know what? We believe in Halacha. Hashem gave us the Halacha. The bottom line is, guys, anything of 20 and below, bless you, David, is called Halachically Eroi. I don't care how sturdy it is. I could care less. I call that Halachically Eroi. We're going to see today, Biz Hashem, how we formulate that. But the bottom line is that anything 20 and below is Arai. Anything above 20, I don't care how Eroi it is. You know what Eroi means? Temporary. What is it called?
Keva.
Keva. Exactly. No doubt. Gemara says, no ifs and buts. The Gemara says, we are dealing with objective halakhic rules. And that is it. So you can describe physically from today until tomorrow that below the 20 was Keva. I don't care. Below 20, Jacob, is Eroi. And you could say, oh, just look at this very sturdy thing I built. It's 24. What's the halacha? The halacha is that it's considered to be what? No matter what you say, it's called keva. Correct. Even though it's not so sturdy. Okay, let's see the Rashi on the bottom. Okay, actually, let's see the Rashi Shivas Yom. Start from there. Go ahead, Matthew. What do you say?
Shivas Yom. Suga shal shiva, betulo, dehainu ari, vidai, b'machitzos kavos.
It's a sukkah of 7 days and no more.
And no more.
And therefore it's a roi. And it's enough with what? Sheki mechitzis. Okay, I want you to get this down. I gave you a few Rishonim. Let's get it down. What is the makor of Rava that you need a roi? What is the makor? So Rashi and the Rabbeinu Hananel, also if you got to see it, say as follows. Okay? They basically say, the fact is that it says, it didn't say, what does it say in the Torah? What does it say in the Torah? Basukas Teshu Shivas Yomim. Yes? What does the Torah not say? It doesn't say Teshu Yomim, but what?
Basukas.
Oh, the Ritva says this. Let's get down the Ritva first. The Ritva says that since the Torah did not say Teshu Shivas Yomim Basukas, but it says Basukas Teshu Shivas Yomim, it's Mashma, make it a living place of 7 days. Now, last time I checked, the living place of 7 days has got to be what? It's got to be a roi. That's the lush in the Ritva I gave you. Rav Amr Meachah, the Sukkot is Yamin, Amr Torah, Chule, it says, when he was Keva, Chule, Perish, Midalo, Naka, Teshu, Shivas Yamin, Basukos, Menaka, Basukos, Teshu, Shivas Yamin, Masha, Sheyes, also the Yeshiva, Shivas Yamin, Nani, Roy. The Torah, by putting the word Basukos first, is saying, you sit in a dwelling that is only 7 days worth dwelling, and afterwards it's going to crumble. That's how the Ritva learns a roi, according to Rav. The fact that the Torah write the word basukas first. Should have said teshu shivas yamin basukos. The fact that it says basukas teshu shivas yamin. I want you to sit in a dwelling of what? Of only 7 days. And therefore that's a roi. Who writes this?
Ritva.
However, according to Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel, Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel say, the fact that it said shivas yamin, stam, 7 days. It's mashma sukkah of 7 days and no longer. Also the same theory. That a sukkah that lasts 7 days is what? But he's not they're not finagling with the pasuk. Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel finagle with the pasuk. So since they finagle with the pasuk, that's what the Ritva says. Rashi just says Shiva Shomim straight up. Rashi Rabbeinu Hananel. So we got the two makoros so far. But there's a third marker that I wanted you to see, and that was the Rivav. The Rivav. Did you see the Rivav? The Rivav's right on the side of the Rif. Rivav. Who is it? Rabbi Yudim ben Brechia? That's how he's known, guys, as the Rivav. Everyone's asking me this morning, where's the Rivav? Where's the Rivav? I'm asking myself, where's the Rivav? Baruch Hashem, I found him. He's on the Rif, on the side. The Rivav. You got it?
Not the Rivavan.
Yeah, Rivav, right. What does the Rivav say? Right, I said Rivavan and said it, Rivav. So what's the Rivav say? It says Teshu and it doesn't say Taduru. What does Taduru mean?
To live.
Live what? Permanently. Taduru means permanently. Teshu means temporary. So what we're starting off this mahalach is that there are three makoros in Rishonim, how Rava figured out you need a roi and not what? And not keva. Either like Ritva, that if finagle with the pasuk, the basukas is mentioned what? In the beginning of the pasuk. Either like Rashi Rabbeinu Hananel, that it means what? Just shivas yamin. Straight up. Or like who? Or like the Rivav that says what? It says Teshu and not Taduru. So that's how we start off saying the three Makairis, Halacha L'maisa. Okay? the three makaris alach lamaisa that say you need to what you need to have dira, but the dira's got to be a roy and not kevi. Yes, Matthew.
I'm just confused. What's the havamina mean of the other way of like a permanent dwelling place for 7 days? Like with all the clarifications of what the schach has to be, how can you envision a permanent?
That's the chiddush of Rava though. That the chiddush of Rava is that it's masber the 20 amas. It's masber 20 amas because we mandate eroi. You could have said lamaisa that. I'll tell you what. You could have interpreted the puzzle and say sit in the sukkah for 7 days. But the Torah didn't mean to make a structure, a shelter that's temporary. Just sit in it for 7 days and leave. But maybe you need a structure that's what? Maybe you need a structure that's going to be what? That's going to be lasting. That's the Chiddush of Rava.
Like what, like have a sukkah's house? And a...
Yeah, he interprets the pasuk literally.
So what, the sukkah's house just wouldn't have a roof and it would have stuff?
Yeah, whatever it is, but I'm just saying the Chiddush of Rava is that's how he's reading the pasuk. Either it's a dwelling place of 7 days, or the fact that Basuka is mentioned first, or it says Taduru, it says Teshu, not Taduru. Okay? Otherwise, you would have thought maybe the structure's good. And we're going to see Lamaisa with the Taisus right now. Let's see the Taisus right now. Halacha Lamaisa, it's interesting, Chiddush. But let's see the Taisus right now, what we're going to say. Okay? Go ahead. Let's see Taisus inside. Go ahead, Matthew. Let's see Taisus. Okay, guys, look inside Taisus in Mazar Ki. Go ahead. Let's see inside. Ki Ovid. Even though
that you could read the pasuk saying that you need a dirish in a royal elishiva, that's only
7 days to exclude keva.
Exclude permanence.
Go ahead.
Mashlei kro the asel shigura le or vai lecha.
The pasuk is coming to tell me asel shiure. The pasuk is coming to teach you the shear and to teach me the height. Chomar besuka shefshar. Chomar besuka shefshar lasos. Chomar besuka shefshar lasos aroy. Meaning, what is Tosa saying? What is Tosa saying here? Tosa saying is that there's an objective shear. The Torah is coming to exclude what you lit in the sukkah for 7 days. And it's excluding Keva, but the Torah is telling you more than that. It's telling you that there's a what? That there's a shear of what? Of what the height is. And anything less than what? Anything less that height is what? Anything that less that height is not considered to be what? Is not considered to be Keva. It's considered to be a Roy. So the Chiddush of the Gemara is it's teaching an objective shear. That's the Chiddush of this Gemara. Teach you exactly what it means. This shear, Lamaisa, is exactly what this halacha is. Now, I want you to get this down. And this is what, basically, I gave you in Seder, Lamaisa, for you to be masber. How on earth, Rava knew, how would a person, Hashem never expects a person to do something that he can't do. Hashem never commands a person to do something they can't do, correct? So how can Hashem command you to build something, halacha Lamaisa, that is considered to be what? Bad. Build a bad structure so it'll be 7 days or less. So you'll build a bad structure. So it'll be less than 7 days, correct? How can a person be such a perfect architect to build a structure exactly for 7 days itself? Perfectly 7 days.
No, you're just sitting there for 7 days.
In other words, what the Gemara is saying here is, and this is what Tais is saying, is that the Torah is telling you build a structure that is a bad structure. But the bad structure is what? What is the bad structure? Last time I checked, do you ever find an architect that could build you a building that will last exactly 7 days? No way. So you know what I'll say? Build a bad structure so it falls in 3 days. What? Nishkaferlich. Maybe that's what the Torah meant. That's not true. The Torah requires you to build a building that has 7 days. When last time I checked, did the Torah give you an architect that says I can build 7 days? So what must it mean?
It's in it.
No, what must it mean? Let's get it down. It means a shear of 20. That's what it means. A shear of 20 amas. That's exactly what Tosis means. That's the halacha. And the Ran I gave you says that explicitly, Dibur Maska Rava. What does the Ran say? It's impossible that the Torah commands you something you can't do. How is a person supposed to say, I'm going to build a building exactly 7 days and no more? That's ridiculous. So says the Aruch Lanier, if it was the Torah was just saying build a bad building and it falls in 1 or 2 days, Nishkeferlich, so what? But here the Torah says you got to build a building that fits 7 days. What kind of architect can do that? Even the best architect in the world. Who is the best architect in the history of America?
Salah.
What's his name?
Salah.
Okay, but Salah, I said in America. What'd you Frank Lloyd Wright cannot do, but Salah could. You're right, Matthew. But there's no way Frank Lloyd Wright could do what? No way Frank Lloyd Wright could build a building exactly in 7 days. I know it's not going to last. So that's exactly, get down to your notes. That's what I gave you the Ron. Since the Torah says, where does the Gemara say the sukkah must be fitting for 7 days? What daf? Chaf gimel amar aleph. Get it down. So since it says the sukkah, bless you, has to be fitting for 7 days, it must mean, halacha l'maisa, that what? It must mean for sure the sukkah has to be what? Not more than seven, not less than seven. And therefore it's not more than seven or not less than seven. What's the din? The din is that what? Halacha l'maisa? It has to be, that's the shear of what? Esrim amah. That's what the Aruch Lanier is, masber what? Masber the shita of the Ron. Okay, the Aruch Lanier is masber the shita of the Ron. Halacha l'maisa. So the Aruch Lanier is masber, so that's what I'm saying, is the pshat and toisis. Toisis is even though you can be masber the pusik, then it's only really l'shiva. So mashmalei, the pusik tells me a shear of 20. So it's got to mean 7 days. So it's got to mean 7 days, but the Chum said it meant 20 amas. Okay? That's what it means, halacha l'maisa. And that's how the Ron is masber with his din. It's impossible to say the Torah commands you to do something that what? Something that you cannot do. Okay? So we got that so far? So that's how Tosis begins. And that's how what? That's how Tosis begins. We're adding on the Ron with the Aruch Lanier. And that's what Tosis meant. Even though I could say it meant what? It meant Dira, that's only for 7 days to exclude Keva. So it's mashma from Rava that the Pusik is teaching you that you require Dira Sarai. It's not to just Pasal Dira Keva. So telling me there's an objective shear. And that objective shear tells me that's what Eroi is. Now, what did Rashi say? Let's get it down. What did Rashi say? What did Rashi say? Dibra Maskat Esrim. Let's get it down. Rashi said you don't dafka need Eroi Mamish. Included in Eroi is Keva. Okay? And if you make it Keva under 20, that's doing what the Halacha says. That's fine. No problem at all. That's no problem at all. That's what Rashi says. And what does the Ritva say in Dirmaska Vanachon, which I gave you? If the Torah literally required Diris Eroi, the Torah would have said it explicitly. The Torah never says it explicitly. You follow what I'm saying? So get this down. We just pointed out three different shitas. Everyone agrees that you don't need Eroi Mamish. But why not? Why don't you require a Roy Mamish? So Rashi says, because halachically, anything under 20 is included, called a Roy, even if you made a Keva. The Ritva says, if the Torah required a Roy literally, then what? If the Torah required it, the Torah would have said it. The Ron with the Aruch Lanier says, and that's how we're being masked at the beginning of the Tosfos, if the Torah requires what? A Roy, so why does it say 7 days? We need to come up with some definition. No architect in their right mind can make what something exactly 7 days. If it's supposed to be bad, it falls 1 or 2 days, that would be fine. But that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says, I want it exactly seven. Not more, not less. No right architect in the right mind can do that. And therefore what? What must it mean? An objective shear of 20. Anything less than 20 is Eroi, above 20 is Keva. Donnie, you got this? You got the three pshat we just said? Rashi, Ritva, and the Ron and the Aruch Lanier with the beginning of the Tosfos. The third sheet is the Ron, the Aruch Lanier with the beginning of the Tosfos. Okay, Chlor? So I want you guys to get this down. That's when we read the Gemara. The Gemara is defining you do not physically need Eroi. It's a halachic Eroi. Anything below 20 is Eroi, by definition. Okay. Now let's get this. Before we go weiter in the Tosfos. The Ritva that I gave you, again, quotes Balei HaTosfos. What do we always say when the Ritva quotes Balei HaTosfos? More often than not, the Tosfos are not where? Not on the daf. Now, what did the Ritva say in Dibra Maskat Vanachon that I gave you? He points out the following halacha b'shem Tosfos, which I want you to get down. I explained it to a lot of guys in Seder. You got to get it. There's a famous din, a lot of place in Shas, called Reb Zeira's din. Kol Aroi Labila, Ein Bila Ma'akevis Bo. Yoni, you got me? The Mishnah writes in Menachos, Yud Chesem and Beis, that when you offer a korban mincha, it must be mincha belula b'shemen. It must be a mincha that's mixed with oil. You need 60 ratio to 1 when you talk about the oil and the flour. 60 to 1. There's oil and flour mixed in the korban. If you have 61 and 1, you have the bad ratio, you're puzzled. What happens if I have 60 to 1 and I did not mix it, but I offered it to Hashem? Is that kosher? Yes. The Mishnah writes in Menachos that is kosher on Yud Chesem and Beis in Menachos. It is a kosher korban. Why is it kosher, Dani? Because it was ra'ui lablila. Bila and blila is the same word. It was fitting to be mixed because it had the right shear. If it did not have the right shear, it would have been possible. And it did not have the right shear, then it's possible. But if it had the right shear, it's fine. Kolaroi lebila, ain bila ma kevespo. A famous din of Reb Zeira. I'll give an example. We learned this summer in our kol in the shul, in the summer kol, Hilchas Chalitza. There are different parts to Chalitza. Removal of the shoe, spitting, and reading psukim. You know, if a couple, the husband dies without kids, you either do Yibam or Chalitza. Now, if you only remove the shoe, and you don't spit or do the psukim, is it kosher?
Yes.
Yes. The only thing that's ma'akev is the removal of the shoe. What happens if you have a deaf mute? The man or the woman are mutes, deaf mutes. Is that kosher or not, such a chalitza? At first glance, I would have said yes, because the psukim are not ma'akev. But you need to be ra'ui. They cannot say the psukim, therefore it's psula. I'll give you another example. Rabbeinu Tam says, if you're a witness, you're supposed to say it over in front of Beis Din verbally, your testimony. Can you write it in? Rabbeinu Tam says yes. But if you're a mute, you can't write it in because you don't have the ability to say it. I'll give you one more example.
So
the Ritva says later on in Sukkah, if you're in the middle of your Shmon Esrei and the Tzibur gets to Kedusha, you know what the Ritva says? You continue davening because you're not ra'ui to answer. You're not fitting to answer because you're davening your Shmon Esrei. See, Rashi, and how do we paskin? We paskin, you stop and listen. And then Shomei Kona, Tosa says it's wrong because it's if you're answering. Rashi says it's elastic. It's not literally answering. But I just gave you three examples. I want you to get down your notes of Koloroi Labila, Ain Bila Makevispo. The Mishnah Menachos is the mucker. And we gave three examples. The case of what? Chalitza. The case of sending in testimony. Yoni, you got it? Make sure we get it down. What's number three? If you're in Shmon Esrei and they get to Kedusha. Right, Yoni, that's why I said he didn't say it. You need to be fitting to mix it in. So if you have the shear, it's fine. The third one was, if you're in Shmon Esrei and they get to Kedusha, you're not ra'ui to answer. So you're not ra'ui to answer. You don't answer. Just keep going. We don't happen to hold like that, Ritva. We paskin that you stop and listen like Rashi, Shomei Kona. But it's not literally answering. Because literally answering, Tosha says it's a hefsek. So Tosha says you also continue to daven. We hold like Rashi. Chalish Rashi, Tosha Brachos, what daf? Think you're, what is it? Daf Chofim Ebeis? Think Chofim Ebeis and Brachos. You got all the examples down, Avram? Okay. Says the Ritva, a beautiful pshat. He says you can make a sukkah below 20, Donnie, like a what? Like a tank. You could make it so fortified, you could make it like a nuclear arsenal where they hide it, you know, with the dome and everything. I don't care. Because below 20, it is ra'ui to be made eroi. As long as it is ra'ui, kol aroi labila, ein bila makevespo. He invokes Reb Zeira, the Ritva B'Shem Tosos. He says, kol aroi labila, ein bila makevespo. But I made it like a tank. I don't care. Because anything below 20 is ra'ui to be made eroi. If it's ra'ui to be made eroi, it's fine. It's an amazing, amazing writ for the Shem, the Baal Hat Tesis. Okay?
Yeah,
please
same,
get it down.
Same concept we could have said before with the mountains.
Similar, it is similar, but that's a little bit different just saying Dal Mihach about the shave, because that's an external thing. But this is, actually, he's invoking this klal, I want you to know. That's what he means when he says Koloroi Labilu. Okay, we got that, so now we have a new pshat in the Gemara. How many pshat have we had so far in the Gemara? We had Rashi, right? What did Rashi say? Rashi said himself that what? Rashi said that included in Eroi is what? Is Keva, correct? We had the Ritva that said if the Torah literally wanted Eroi, it would have said it. We had the Ran with the Aruch Haner with the beginning of Tosa that Hashem doesn't ask you to do something you can't do. So if it's exactly 7, it's got to be a definitional, it's got to be 20. Anything below 20 is good. And now we have a noob shot, the Ritva the Shem of Ali Tosa that he invokes Reb Zeira's din. Don't confuse Reb Zeira. It's the same Gadol, same Amora. Reb Zeira in our Gemara was shade, right? This is a different din of Reb Zera, Jacob, that's quoted all over Shas. Kol Roi Labila. Comes along the Ritva, says, I'm sorry, Tosis, I don't like your pshat. I don't like you invoking Reb Zera. Please get down why. Why does the Ritva not like it? Why does the Ritva not like Tosis? Because second of all, first of all, the Gemara should have quoted Reb Zera explicitly, and it doesn't. It does not quote Reb Zera explicitly. And number two, Reb Zera, when we're going to learn when we get to Amud Beis, not today, Reb Zera doesn't like Rava. If Rava is based on Reb Zera, it's the same gadol. How could the Gemara say that Reb Zera doesn't like Rava? On Amud Beis, the Gemara is saying Reb Zera doesn't like Rava's approach. But Marty, if Rava is based on another statement of Reb Zera, then how could Reb Zera not like himself? Because of those two nakudas, you got it, Donnie? Because of those two nakudas, the Ritva argues on Tosis Pshat. Again, what was Tosis Pshat that we don't have on the Daf? That what's the basis? What is the basis of Rava?
Has to be
Ra'ui. But it has to be Ra'ui. Anything below 20, even if you make it like an arsenal, what? As long as it's Ra'ui to be made a Roy, it's fine. Remember, Kol Roy Labila, the dinner of Zera. Kol Roy Labila and Bila Makevispo. As long as it's fitting to be made a Roy, that's fine. I don't care how you make it physically. But anything under 20 is Ra'ui to be made a Roy. That's Reb Zera's famous din all over Shas. You follow me? So the Ritva comes along and says, I don't like your Pshat, Tisus, because if Rav is based on Reb Zera, then first of all, the Gemara should have said it, because the Gemara quotes Reb Zera a lot of times in Shas. And number two, if Rav himself is based on Reb Zera, how could the Gemara on the base say Reb Zera, who said what Pshat, David? The shadow Pshat, that self Pshat, the Gemara says that Reb Zera doesn't like Rav. What do you mean Rav is based on you, Reb Zera? Different statement. So because of those two Pshatim, the Ritva says, I disagree with you, Tisus. And the Ritva says, Lamaisa, it's considered to be what? It's considered to be a difficult shot, Lamaisa. And therefore, what leads us to the Ritva's own comment, which is what? If the Torah would have required a Roy, the Torah would have said explicitly a Roy. It didn't say it. So by definitionally, anything below 20 is called a Roy. You got what we're saying? Donnie, you got what we're saying today? Rava's approach is anything below 20 is a Roy. Question is how you get to that. Rashi said, anything below 20, Kevah's included, called a Roy. The Ritva says, by definition, Lamaisa, you don't have to make it what? You don't have to make it a Roy. By definition, anything below 20 is a Roy. If the Torah required a Roy, it would have said it before. The Ron with the Rachlan there in the beginning of Taisa say, Hashem requires a definition. Below 20 is a Roy. No one, the greatest architect in the world can't make a binyan seven days. Exactly. So therefore, it means a definition is begging for a definition of 20. But what comes out, the difference between the Ritva and the Taisa that I want you to get down is like this. Is that according to Tosfos, it could very well be, according to Tosfos, Tosfos says, anything, that Tosfos the Ritva quotes, anything above 20 is called high. But the Ritva says from the Lashon of Gemara, what would happen if a guy built something over 20, but it's a Roy? What would you say? What would you say? Halacha
l'maisa.
It's possible in the Torah. Why is it possible? How would you formulate why it's possible? Because according to Tosfos, objectively, it's called what?
Eroi.
According to Ritva, why is it Eroi? Butla daita etzer kol adam, says the Ritva. What does butla daita etzer kol adam mean? What does butla daita etzer kol adam mean? The guy's a meshugana. Anyone who builds over 20 knows it's not what? Knows it's considered to be sturdy. And there's no way you can have something that's unsturdy, temporary, above 20. And if some Meshuggah guy did it, I don't care about him. I'll give you an example of that in Shas. There were people that lived in the city of Hutzal, Anshe Hutzal. They were able to carry things on their heads, baskets. Now, normally a guy who carries something on a basket from Rosh Hashanah to Shabbat is putter from carrying, because that's not the what? That's not the derech of carrying. It's not the norm. These guys were experts. They should be chayav skila with Edom and Asra. No. These guys are what? Batla Daita as a kolam. They're a minority. And if they're a minority, we deem that as being abnormal way of caring. You understand what I'm saying? So too the Ritva says, you know what? Oh, you found a guy who thinks he's like Frank Lloyd Wright that can build over 20 and that it's Eroi? Forget about it. We call that Keva. See, Tosfos says, objectively, that's called Keva. The Ritva says, Batla Daita as a kolam. So at the end of the day, everyone agrees that everything above 20 is kevah, Jacob. Question is how you get to it. You follow me?
Yeah.
Do you say that what? Objectively, it's automatically kevah? Or do you say, but l'dayta etzel kol adam, and that's what the Ritva says the Lashon of the Gemara is. And he says it's impossible to make it roy. It's impossible to make it roy. If it was true, someone does it. The Gemara should have said l'maisa. Also saw but l'dayta kol adam. If it's impossible to make it roy, l'amal miyashimama. Einu el roy el keva. Gemara never really, halacha l'maisa, said it. The Gemara should have said that anything above Asar Amah is considered to be what? Is considered to be Keva. And their Gemara says, a person makes his Dira Keva. See, one sec, Yoni, we'll get to it. What was the language of the Gemara? What was the language of the Gemara? What was the language of the Gemara you read in the Gemara, Matthew? Adam. Adam Osa, right? It's always what a guy does. So the Ritva's Pshat is very striking, I thought. You could have a guy who's a Meshuggah that thinks he could build it. You think you're Frank Lloyd Wright? I don't care. Butler died to call other. People, what? We don't care about the minority guys that do it. They're Butler died to call them. Tosos will say it's impossible. See, when it says Adam Osa Daito, when it says Asam Osa Diraso Kev, is that automatic? Objective? That's what Tosos is going to say. The Tosos that the Ritva quotes. However, the Ritva himself says Butler died to call them. I don't care about a Meshuggah in a minority. The din is, anything above 20 is keva, anything below 20 is arai. But l'dayta is kol adam. Tosfos says, objectively, anything above 20. I don't care how light it is. That's called keva, 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 keva. Okay? We got it? Yes, Yoni, go ahead. Quick, real quick, because we gotta go vayt in the Tosfos. Go ahead.
Just in general, you can't make something above 20 arai, just like the feast science, right? Because it'll just topple over.
That's true. You're right. That's why I said if a guy's like thinks he's like Frank Lloyd Wright, then he could do it.
I'm saying not even with the...
But I'm saying even if you could, Yoni, object halakhically we don't accept it. It's not called a roi. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm saying not even with the 7 days. It's not about whether it'll...
I understand that. But I'm saying even if you had a razzle-dazzle architect that could do it, halakhically we still call it Kevin. That's it. Even if it would stand, it's called Kevin. It's not called a roi.
Right.
Okay? That's what I'm bringing out. It's a good point. The question is how you arrived at it. Do you say, but like, dietal it's a coladum? That we don't care about him, or do you see objectively we call that what? Kevin, that's it, done. Uh-huh. I don't care how unsturdy it is. Yes, Matthew.
So would the Ritva hold to the reality or like the objective reality of above 20.1 is Keva and 20 is Arai, or would...
Yeah, we're gonna assume everyone's gonna hold halal tonight. It's Rava, it's the same Ramara.
No, what I'm saying is we're saying
the same Amora, Rava. Rava and Eri Halal tonight, Rava here, right?
Right,
that's the rubber. You follow me?
Yeah.
Okay.
What I'm asking is, like, do we still hold that the objective reality determines that under 20 amos is arai?
Yes. Yes.
So Ritva holds that also.
Ritva holds that also, but it's based on a phrase called butla deitzel kol adam. He invokes like a kind of a subjective thing. You know what objective and subjective is?
Yeah.
Objective are rules. Subjectives talk about what the guy was thinking. The simplest reading of the Gemara it seems to be what the guy does. Adam osa. So the Ritva fits in good with that Bud Light Zokon. I don't care what this guy thinks.
And whereas
Tosfos just says the Gemara's Lavdavka. It means it's a rule.
A
exactly. When you read Adam Osa, is it subjectified like the Ritva, or is it objectified like Tosfos? David, you follow me?
What does Ritva mean by is it objective?
That's what I'm saying. It's an objective rule. Anything above 20 is Kevin, no matter what. That's Tosfos, the Ritva quoting Tosfos. But the Ritva himself says, no, what people do. The subjective. People don't make things above 20 that are arai. Let's say one Meshuggah guy did, but l'dayta etzel kol adam. Saying it's a good example methodologically how you read the Gemara.
What's a nafkamina?
No nafkamina ladin. I'm just saying how to read the Gemara.
Okay.
There's no nafkamina la lacha. Okay? They're both going to be puzzled. Question is how you read the Gemara. Adam yodeh. You got to be in tune with. Avram, you got this? I want you to get that down. The two ways to read the Gemara. Adam yodeh. Is it an objective rule like Tosfos of the Ritva? Not the Tosfos we're doing now. Or is it what? Or is it a Chesaron in the Gavra? You got that? Two ways. Yes, Marty, go ahead.
What David asked me during Shir.
Yes.
We know that it is possible to make something that's above 20 Amos Keva into a Rai, because the Gemara says it. So we kept on repeating, saying it's impossible, only like Yotzim HaKlal could make something that's Keva above 20 Amos into a Rai, but the Gemara says it's possible and you're not Yotzim.
You can physically. And that's what the Yoni was asking. You might have a razzle-dazzle architect that they can do it physically, but halachically, we deem it as being eruv, as being kevah.
Well, and maybe the Gemara is saying it's not just...
No, the Gemara means it only physically, Marty. That's the chiddush eruv. The Gemara only means it physically. Halachically, though, we deem that as being what kevah. It is not eruv. That is the chiddush.
So even Tosfos is saying you physically can build it. But...
Yes, yes. Physically you could, but halachically it's objectively called what kevah. Tosfos will say, I'll pee the gavra, we view it as kevah because a butler died as kolodim. That's the riff himself, correct. Tosfos is objectively it's kevah, correct. Yes. So I'm saying when you read the Gemara, when it says Adam Osa, do you underline the Adam 80 times? Like who? Who underlines the word Adam? The Ritva. And who underlines the one? The Rasso? Tosfos. Because all Tosfos cares about the Ritva of the Tosfos of the Ritva. Okay, very good. Back to Tosfos now. Okay? So Tosfos began by saying, oh, we're just excluding Keva, but it's more than that. We need an objective shear. What's the objective shear, Matthew? 20. Less than 20. Otherwise, what are we? Hashem expects us to do something we can't do? What's the famous phrase it says a few places in Shas? Lo nitna Torah, lo malache, hasharis. The Torah was given to human beings, not to angels. So no one can build a building that's going to be exactly 7 days. Okay, weiter now, Matthew and Tosfos, guys. Let's go. Let's go. We got a lot to do. Go avim toimar. Go ahead.
Vim toimar v'kevav d'lachashion elashetehei r'goya l'asosa ararit. V'avapish ososa kevav.
Even though what we say that the building has to be a roi, even though physically, like Marty said, I made it keva, but halachically we call that a roi. Imken,
amai amar deshovim sivim kol v'cha.
Does anyone know why we don't say mashiv ruach in the beginning of Sukkot? We pass like the Tani say only started by Shemini Atzeres.
We
don't want to start praying for rain. Right, even though mashiv ruach is only Eretz Yisrael, though, but we don't want to start praying for rain in Eretz Yisrael so that people can sit in their sukkah. It's a sivim kol v'cha. So what does that phrase imply? That phrase implies that what?
That
Jacob,
rain,
let's get it down.
Rain.
That the rain can get inside your sukkah. Yes? If it's simen klala chag and it doesn't affect me, why is that a klala? But if it gets inside my sukkah, it affects me. If it affects me, that's a klala. Go ahead. Vahalo what? I can make planks with nails. Nisarim is planks bimismarim with nails. Go ahead. Shalom. I can make it beautiful. Go ahead. You hear what he's asking? What is he asking? If objectively it's always called a roy, no matter how hard I make it, so why can't I just do that? And then I can deflect any rain from coming in. And it's still called a roy. Right? I can make it as solid as possible, like I said, an arsenal. But at the end of the day, Lamais is still called a roy. Right? So it's still called the roi. Then why is that simon klal b'chag? Go ahead. Vafilin tim shalomar. Tikra. There's an isser to make planks that are 4 tefachim wide. You cannot use slats that are 4 tefachim wide. The two, you know what people are going to start thinking? That you can sit under a ceiling. And it's going to lead people to sit in the house. Go ahead. Kihechi damar lekaman. Just like, what's kihechi mean? Just like Domer Lakamai, we said Laran a bit Pirik and Daf Yadal. Go ahead. Gabi means in reference to the Machlokas or Meir Rebuta. Do what? Can you use planks as Schach? We pass can the Mechashar to Behu. Because if you allow a plank that's with 4 tefachim, what's the difference? I sit under a plank of 4 tefachim, or I sit under a what? Sitting under a plank of what?
My house.
Go ahead. Ubeso. Midiraisa. The sukkah. Excellent. Mikomakom. Beautiful. What's Tosfos Kasha? The first Mishnah in Tiny says we don't say Mashiv Ruach because we don't want rain on sukkahs. It's Simen Klal B'chag. That implies the rain can get in the sukkah. We just got them saying, halacha l'maisa, that no matter how sturdy you make your sukkah under 20, it's called what? It's called that roi. You know, I'll make it so sturdy that what? That no rain will get in. I'll make thick schach, no rain will get in. So therefore, why are you going to tell me that it's a simen klal b'chag? You're going to tell me because of a din derabanan? What's a din derabanan? The din derabanan is you cannot what? You cannot make planks. So I can't make planks. So I can't make the sukkah of planks because I might end up sitting in my house. Fine. Do you think a din derabanan can cause a klala? A din derabanan is a lower level. There's no way that a din derabanan, something that's only asim derabanan, can say that rain causes a siman klala. Because there's a din derabanan to tell me that I can't make planks, so that creates a scenario that I have to let rain in, and if rain comes in, that's a siman klala? But you mean to tell me with the araisa, I could totally what? Make a great sukkah sturdy and so strong that no rain would come in? And that would be fine? That's very bizarre to tell me that a din derabanan creates a klala. Because there's a din derabanan that I cannot make planks, that forces me to make a sukkah that allows rain to come in. But it's only a din derabanan that forces me. That is very, very bizarre. That's Tosis Kasha. You understand what I'm saying, Donnie? That a din derabanan should drive me to say it's a siman klala b'chag? Why should a din derabanan drive me to say that it's a siman klala b'chag? That is very, very strange. And what's the din derabanan? That I cannot make a plank of arba tefachim. So therefore, it's got to be, you know, thinner slats, and therefore the rain will come in. Because of that, it's a siman klala b'chag. You mean there was no din d'oraisa that forced me to allow rain to come in? That's crazy, Tysus asks. Now I want you to get this down. One sec, Avram. The Aruch HaNir points out, we mentioned it on Sunday. Why do we fulfill din derabanan, guys? Why do we do din derabanan? What's the marker? Lo tasur. There's a mitzvah to listen to the words of the chachamim, no doubt. And that's based on a pasuk, even though they're din derabanan. So maybe that's enough to cause the klala. Says the Aruch HaNir, but it won't be enough to understand that line in the Mishnah Tainis that it's like a servant pouring a pitcher of water on your face, on the master's face. That's like, whoa. The Mishnah says if you get rain on Sukkot, it's like the servant comes with a pitcher of water and pours it right on the king's face.
All the way around, no? No, it's that the king takes the cup and throws it in.
Pours it on the Evid. Correct. I said it the other way. Correct, Sweet. Correct, Avram, thank you. In other words, you have a servant that comes, and the king goes in, who's a Kodesh Baruch, and pours the pitcher on the servant's face. Hashem wants us to fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah, and it rains. It's like he's pouring the water on our face. That's very harsh, guys. There's no way that a din derabanan could cause that phrase. Please get that down. That's what the Aruch HaNir says Tosis means. You're right, a din derabanan might cause a klala because it's a mitzvah of lo tasur. To listen to the words of the Chacham. No doubt that there's a mitzvah to listen to the words of the Chacham. And it might be rooted on a pasuk, even though it's still the Rabbanan. And there's a mitzvah to do the Shema Chacham. In fact, Rabbi Chanan writes in one place, it's a ratzon of Hashem to do the dinim, the Rabbanan. Kol over the Chacham Chayv Misa, brachas daftal and beiz. We mentioned it a few times already. Dinim, the Rabbanan are very serious. But the bottom line, it's going to cause you to say it's like the king poured water on the servant's face? No way. It's got to be a din d'oraisa that's driving that phrase. It's got to be a din d'oraisa that's driving that phrase. That's Tosis Kasha. It's a bomb Kasha. And I'll give you examples. I'm going to give you two examples, guys, that din d'rabanan are so powerful that they can even impact the d'oraisas. I'll just give you two examples. I want you to get them in your notes. To prove to you the d'rabanan's koach and their tentacles and their strength. When you eat matzah at the Seder, how are you supposed to eat it? Where is the Seba? Is that mentioned anywhere in the Chumash? That's a takanas chachamim, to express cheres. There are two takanas, arbakosis and a Seba. What happens if I eat matzah without a Seba? What's the din? I'm not yotze, even what? Even d'oraisa, says the Rosh. But it's a d'rabanan. D'rabanan can have great impact on the level of d'oraisa. And the Kesef Mishnah says it's from Lol Tasur. But that will not drive the imagery of the king pouring a pitcher, like Svi said, on the servant's face. Only a din d'oraisa can drive that. I'll give you one other din. In Hilchos Sukkah, on Daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis, can you build a sukkah on top of a behemoth? Yes or no? Reb Meir says yes. Sukkah is beautiful. Reb Yudah says it's possible. Why does Rebuta says it's possible? Because a sukkah that's not Ru'uya L'Shiva is not a what? It's not a good sukkah. Now, climbing out of the Haman, Shabbos and Yontov, is that the Arisa or the Rabbanon? The Rabbanon. Something that's the Rabbanon can make it not Ru'uya L'Shiva? Yes! Because it's a Chagah, sukkah's Tasa L'cha. Even any din the Rabbanon can impact the mitzvah of being good, the Arisa. The Ritva says in Sukkah, and Dachov Kimmel, Chagas Kukas Tasa Lacha, even a Dindra Banan will prevent the Sukkah from being Ruhi L'Shiva. And you know what Rameir says back to that, Matthew? He says, Midi Araisa Nechse Chaza, Midra Banan Apostle. He says, on a Diraisa level, that Sukkah is beautiful. It's only a Dira Banan problem. So he says, that Sukkah is kosher. Reb Yudah says, that Sukkah is psul. So there's a difference between Reb Meir and Reb Yudah by a sukkah on top of Meir. But this is the second example that I gave you, that the Rabbanan have the tentacles to even affect the mitzvah d'oraisa, and maybe you're not going to be yotze. But still, Tosus asks, it is not powerful enough to what? What is it not powerful enough to do? It's not powerful enough to what? To cause a klala to say that what? It's like pouring what? A pitcher on the servant's face. You need a din d'oraisa. And the sarm is not enough. Okay? Yes, Marty.
Is it only Israel if it rains in America?
Yeah, Mashav Aruch is only for Eretz Yisrael. Tein Talamotos for everywhere, wherever you live.
But I'm saying it's a klala. It's only considered a klala if it rains in Eretz Yisrael.
No, no, it's a klala everywhere. But the Mishnah's topic of Mashav Aruch is whether we should say Mashav Aruch in Eretz Yisrael at that time.
So if the first rain, it's only a klala in Eretz Yisrael.
What'd you say? Okay, it might be. I'm saying the din of Mashav Aruch depends on rains in Eretz Yisrael. Ten Talamotas rains in Chutz Lawrence. Okay?
If it rains in New York, let's say on Sukkot the first night, is it still a klala?
It's a shiloh how to read the Mishnah. Some say yes, some say no. But Lamaisa, the din of Mashav Aruch is only for Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Ten Talamotas is wherever you are in the world. If you live in a country in the summer that needs rain, Ten Talamotas always depends where you live. Okay? Mashav Aruch is always dependent on Eretz Yisrael. That's the klal. Mashav Aruch is a askara, Ten Talamotas is a bakasha. Yes, Donnie.
It's not the din d'rabbanan is not like it's not like directly causing the simon klala. It's the tefila. So how can you say that like the din d'rabbanan of not building the place for tefillah is causing the simon klala? It's not directly. They have nothing to do with it.
It's not directly, but what is it doing? It's stopping us from what?
Preventing it. But
exactly. In other words, we will not say Mashav Aruch because why? You're going to tell me, oh, because I have the concept of planks, and therefore the planks doesn't what? The planks, you know, you're going to tell me the planks cannot be built, so therefore I have to build what? A schach such that rain comes in? So that din d'rabbanan is masber to me, the Mishnah Tainus. That's bizarre. I understand what you're saying, but this is the way I'm saying it. A din d'rabbanan is not going to be masber, that imagery in the Mishnah Tainus, that the king's pouring a pitcher. Tainus says it's got to be a din d'oraisa. There should be some din d'oraisa out there that allows the rain to come in. Where is it, he's asking.
It should be the other way around. You should say that you're going to say that din d'rabbanan is we're not going to be allowed to use the din d'rabbanan to prevent the simon klala?
No, the din d'rabbanan is being masber to you that you need rain to come in. And therefore what? We don't say Mashav Aruch. Because we need the ability. Again, what is the premise of Mashav Aruch? I'm glad he asked that. The premise of Mashav Aruch is assuming that if you say Mashav Aruch, Hashem is going to give us rain. But the rain has to get through. Right? The rain has to get through. So the din d'rabbanan allows us for the rain to get through because I can't make thick schach, right? But Tosa is saying it's got to be more than a din d'rabbanan that it should allow the rain to get through. Should be what? A din d'oraisa. That's what he's asking. You hear what I'm saying? There should be a din d'oraisa that should allow you to have the rain to get through. Not just a din d'rabbanan. He's not willing to say just a sarim. The sarim's not enough. David, you follow me? It's got to be a real din that should allow me to have the rain come through. Yes, Abba?
When Tosos adds the Im Timsei Lomar, the question is going from a practical question of not blocking the rain to a theoretical question.
Yeah, he's saying Im Timsei Lomar, even if you want to say I have an answer to my kasha, it doesn't answer it fully.
But it changes the question from being a practical
question. Okay, but it's the same kasha. How do you mazbe the Mishnah? It's the same kasha. How do you mazbe the Mishnah in Titus? What was Tosos' kasha? How can you have a simon klal b'chag? I can make it what? I can make it with nails. Because no matter what, it's always a roi. We deemed it a roi, the whole time, right? No matter how much stuff you put it on. So it's a roi. I can create a scenario where no rain is going to come in. What's a simon kol b'chak? So you want to tell me because of Xerav Nisarim, a din derabana cannot be the driving force why it allows rain to come in. So let's get to the teretz. Go ahead. Matthew, you're doing a great job. Let's see the teretz. Go ahead, Yeshua Omar. Oh, you can make the walls as kev as possible. And therefore it's still deemed as being what? Below 20. You guys tell me. Still a roi. Avamikomakom. What does mikomakom mean? Nevertheless. Every phrase, nevertheless. The ikar sukkah schach. That's like Rashi in the Rush. Right? Unlike David who points out, the Rambam says what? Schach plus the walls. Go ahead. Lo what?
Lo
miskasher. It will not be kosher. He actually changed it inside. Lo minkara. It won't be recognizable. Ad avid lo eroi until you make it a roi. Schach has got to be a roi. What does a roi mean?
Water
can
get in.
Excellent. Excellent, Matthew. Dioraisa. Excellent, Donnie. Rain has got to get in. That's a roi. Umei hai taima. Now who is Rav Zeira? There's only one Amora, great Rav Zeira. But which statement of Rav Zeira is referring to?
In the beginning.
The second approach, the Shei, not the Rav Zeira of Kol HaRoi Lawat, Labila, that who quoted? The Ritva B'Shem who? Ritva B'Shem who? Shem Tyson. Come on, we got to know it all, guys, right? Like lock, stock, and barrel. Go ahead. Umei hai taima nami nichol Rav Zeira. Go ahead. The Darish. But what is it? You see, the Gemara only quoted the beginning of the Pasuk in Yeshaya. But we have right here, what's the end of the Pasuk? Go ahead. It says, Sukkah Tiel Etzel Yoma Mechor Lamachse Lamister Mizerim Mimata. Let's talk about the Abishter over there, that Hashem always shelters and protects us. But the end of the Pasuk says that the Sukkah is supposed to shelter you from rain. So Tosis just built up that what? The Sukkah has to allow rain to get in. How are you going to deal with the end of that Pasuk of Reb Zeira? Go ahead, Vinibai. And we should require that no rain should be able to get in against what I've been developing. Since the schach has to be a roi, and he adds on the side, the ovid hachi, if you make it with nails, go ahead. If you make it with nails, it'll be keva. So therefore, it's got to be a roi. So you can't make it with what? You cannot make it in a way that what no rain can come in. Because the mandate is that it's got to be a roi in the schach. So rain has to be able to get in. So the first part of the Pasuk, Reb Zeira interprets literally, Dafka, Sukkah, Letzel. The end of the Pasuk, he says, Lav Dafka, what is it referring to? Not literally that rain can't get in. Does everyone got that? Now when I was learning this Tosfos, I have to tell you. Donnie, you got me? When I was learning this Tosfos, you know what I would have said? When he brings up Reb Zeira, you know what I would have said? I mentioned a few guys in Seder. You know what I would have said? I would have said, I'm sorry. Reb Zeira doesn't require what? Eroi. Reb Zeira only required what? Shade. Rabba required cognition. Reb Zeira required shade. And Rabba, today, we presented the topic of what? Eroi. That's what I would have said. Why is Tosis even bothered by that? Does everyone hear my point? I want you to get it down in your notes. I would have just said Reb Zeira denies the whole thing. Reb Zeira denies this element of what? Of Eroi. Exactly. And therefore, what? You could build a sukkah where what? Where no rain can come in. No problem. Build a sukkah where no rain can come in. Reb Zeira would argue on the whole thing. Tosfos only commenting with Rava. Rava said rain has to come in. Why is what I'm saying wrong? Because this is a Mishnah in the beginning of Tainus, and the Amoraim cannot argue on Mishnayos. Every one of the three have to deal with that Mishnah in Tainus, where it says Simon Klal B'Chag. So get this down, fundamental. Everyone agrees that there's rain that's got to get in, according to Tosfos. Everyone requires that element of Eroi, that rain's got to get in. The question is, does the element of Eroi also mazb the halacha that higher than 20 amas? Rava says yes, but Rava and Reb Zeira give different theories. Rava says Yediyah, Reb Zeira says Shade. Did everyone just get what I just said? According to Tosfos, all three require a base minimum level of Eroi, which tells me that rain's got to come in. The question is, does Eroi also mazmuri why you can't have it too high? Rava says that also is mazmuri why it can't be too high. Rab and Reb Zera give different theories. Rab is saying Yediyah, Reb Zera is saying Shade. Does everyone cop what I just said? Everyone's got to be kafuf to that Mishnah and Tainus. That's why Taisa said what he said. Okay? Now, let's close with the following. Okay? Do we paskin like this, Taisus? No. I can make the greatest sukk in the world that not a drop gets in. It is Kshera. Please get it down. We do not paskin like this, Taisus. No way. I gave you the Agos Mammonios. Perakei Halacha Tes, Os Tes. You look it up. The Torah quotes, they quote the Rabbeinu Tam, said that the sukkah where no rain can get in is puzzle. And the Taz writes, Simin Tuf Reish Lam and Esif Gelin Beis, that it's only puzzle mid the Rabbanon. And the Prima Godim says that it's Psula D'Yeraisa. However, the Rush in Simin Yud Beis and Reb Shimon, the Rash, who is the brother-in-law of Rabbeinu Tam, said that it is Kshera. And the Aruch Lanier says it's Kshera Lichachila. So there's a bunch of Rishonim that hold such a sukkah as Kshera Lichachila, and we paskin like them. So if you have a great sukkah where not a drop can get in, but it's from kosher schach, that is kosher even Lichachila. And that's the way we paskin. We don't hold like this Tosis. But even within this Tosis, our Tosis said, your rights is possible. Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in the Gospel of Monos as being Psula. Did he mean Dani Dirais of the Rabbanan? Taz says what? What did the Taz say? You got to get this. The Taz said Dirais. The Prima Gadim said he meant only the Rabbanan. Our Tosis meant it was Pasul Min HaTorah, no doubt, right? But we don't accept the Tosis. We paskin that such a sukkah is Ksher even Lechachila Mamish. Okay? Lechachila Mamish. And what about the Mishnah? It's like, it's Agarata. The Mishnah is Agarata. In Tainus, when it says Simin Klal Bechak, did you hear what I just said? Doesn't that mean the rain's got to get in? No, don't take the Mishnah so seriously like that. That the rain's got to get in. We don't assume it so seriously. Okay, I'll take the question afterwards. Tomorrow, I have to do a Levaya. One of the guys in the shul's mom died in Philly. I got to drive to Graveside, so we got to have early shear. Okay. So we're going to have shear tomorrow in this same classroom. Okay, I'm sorry. We have to, learn in base medrash after shear. We'll have shear from 9:30 to 10:45. Okay, in this classroom. Okay, guys? All right? I'll give you the Mar Makobas and the Chazar over afterwards. Okay, everyone have a great day. Okay? Be well.
Thank you.
Good day. Good to see you guys.